Well, good morning, and so glad you're here. Thank you for being here. Excited to worship with you this morning, and glad to be together this morning. I know we still have several families that are out trying to sneak in maybe one more vacation before school starts back. It's coming, happening soon, and so anyway, we're so grateful that you've chosen to be with us and worship with us. If you're a guest today, we'd love to connect with you. We can do that in one of a couple ways. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. If you fill that out, and then at the end of service, we'll have an opportunity to give as we leave today, and you can leave that in offering plate. You can leave it in the pew where you're at. Or if you've joined us online or in person, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new, and you can fill that information out, and we get an email, and we can follow up with you, and we'd love to connect with you and know who's worshiping with us this morning. And so, again, just grateful to be with you. Do want to make a few announcements of things that are happening and coming up in our church and on the calendar and the days ahead. So I want to mention to you, there's some sign-up sheets out in the foyer. Tech Sunday is happening August 20th. This is our, I think, about our fourth year, at least, of doing this in the fall. And this is just the opportunity. Move-in day is the 19th, so then the 20th is a day that the campus pushes for students to connect in the community, or at least lets people know there's opportunity. So we've taken part in this the last several years. So August 20th is our Tech Sunday, and we just think it's really important as best we can to try to connect with as many students right on the front end as they're getting ready to begin. The statistics say that freshmen will set their habits for their 4 years of college in the first 2 weeks of school, that they will set their rhythms of life. And so we're just trying to get in on the front end and help be a part of that and impact that. So August 20th is our Tech Sunday. And that Sunday we'll have, we're inviting some of our athletic teams in. We're promoting it campus-wide. And we will have a meal to follow for all of our church family plus our guests, okay? And we're just going to do hamburgers and hot dogs and chips, something pretty simple, because of the next week I'll talk about in a moment. We're also eating together again, but Tech Sunday we'll have a normal church service followed by our potluck meal that will take place, our hamburgers and hot dogs meal together with all of our church family, and especially encouraging our college students who will be in attendance to take part and be a part of that. And so just hope you'll join us for that. That is our Sunday school promotion Sunday, so that'll be the Sunday in which our students will kind of make the next jump if they need to, with classes starting that week. Also, on the 21st is our involvement fair, the Arkansas Tech involvement fair, and we get a chance to be a part of that, and so we do some giveaways and some different things as a part of that. And so the last few years we've done this, and you've all embraced it well, and we're thankful for that. And so what we're doing is we're asking you, if you want to help with us reach and connect students, if you want to go find some $5 or purchase some $5 and $10 gift cards around town, just $5 or $10, several cards, as you want to be a part of that, you can bring those by the office, give them to me or Pastor Jonathan, and we'll use those to connect with students. And so that'll be happening the 21st. So you got a couple weeks to be a part of that. I did forget to mention, as part of the Tech Sunday, we would like some help with desserts, so there is a sign-up sheet out there in the foyer if you want to sign up for that. Also that night is our quarterly business meeting, so at 5 o'clock, for those of you that are members, if you make plans to come and be a part of that, we would be grateful for that. On the 23rd, our children's activity, our Wednesday night activities, all those things resume. So we're going to have a meal at 5:30, 6 o'clock for our students as we resume our Wednesday night children activities. We will not have prayer meeting that night, just so many things happening and going on. But at 6 o'clock, we will have our children and our students' activities resuming. And then 7:15, we'll have a meal for our collegiate worship service. And then 8 o'clock is our college worship service. And so a lot of things happening that night, so I hope you'll make plans to be a part of that. And then finally, I want to mention to you that on the 27th, we're going to honor Sherry and Al Ray. Sherry is And Al Ray are just transitioning into a different season, a new season of life. And so Al Ray is retiring. And so the 27th will be the last Sunday for Sherry and Al Ray both. And so we want to celebrate them and honor them. And I don't know of a better way to do that than to just have a good old-fashioned potluck. So, amen. I believe the Lord's in that. So, anyway, we're going to have a potluck on the 27th following our service that Sunday morning. So, again, there is a sign-up sheet out there. And if you want to sign up to bring something to just help us celebrate them and honoring them that day. Okay? And I know that several of them are interested, so I'll just give you a quick update. A lot of activity and things have been going on in the fellowship hall. There's been a lot of work this week, and I can't say thank you enough. I'm not going to begin to try to name people because I know I'll leave somebody out, but so many people have come and donated their time and their talent to help us with the remodel of the fellowship hall, and so it's well underway. Electricians are nearly done, almost have the new lighting in. Some things didn't come in this past week, or they would have been finished, so they're really close. And then tomorrow they will begin on the flooring in there. And so that'll be taking place this week, so we won't be able to do a whole lot in there. But we're really close to being finished, and obviously we're sprinting toward the deadline because we plan the 20th. We got to feed a bunch of college students and all of our church family somewhere, and so the plan is to be in there on the 20th to be able to host that meal. So keep praying for that and for the ministry that's going to take place in there, and just really excited. It's looking great. So hopefully soon we'll be able to show that off and celebrate that with you as we draw near completion with that project. So thank you so much for praying for that, and many of you have helped give in so many things as a part of that. So all right, I know that was a lot of announcements, a lot of things that are happening. I want to lead us in a word of prayer. Just prepare our heart. Man, aren't you grateful for the rain this morning? I'm grateful the Lord has given us rain, but it's also an opportunity for us to come together and, man, worship the Lord. He's worthy of our praise this morning. So let me lead us in a time of prayer. God, you are good and gracious and merciful and kind. We thank you for today. God, thank you for each one that's here. God, I pray that you would give us grace to block out all the noise of just life and things that are happening. Help us to focus in on you and celebrate your who you are and what you've done. Lord Jesus, I pray that, God, you would speak to us. You would move among us this morning. Lord, be with all the activities that are coming up. But God, I pray first and foremost that, God, we would know you and we'd make you known. And Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus"?
Oh, how I love you.
Well, amen. If you have your Bible, would you turn to Psalm 37? Psalm 37. We have continued through the summertime here, preaching through Psalms, or at least portions of Psalms in the summer. And so, looking forward to sharing with you from Psalm 37 this morning. And in just a moment, we'll read that together. To be quite honest with you, as I was getting ready to come to the pulpit this morning, just thinking how kind of all of you to show up while I preach to myself this morning, because this is one of those texts. I don't know if there's a lot of amen, but maybe more oh me. Even the title of the message, Fret Not. How many of you, your mama, your grandma, your grandpa, somebody's told you, man, fret not, and just don't worry, trust the Lord, leave it in His hands, and it makes a really good bumper sticker and t-shirt and all that sort of thing, but boy, it's one of those things that's really difficult to live by, to fret not, to not worry about it, trust the Lord, wait on Him. All of these phrases that we've heard and used, and even some of those phrases we're going to read and study this morning. And so, just for me, of just a reminder of trusting the Lord and walking with Him and trusting Him in this. And so, I know you just sat down a moment ago, but we're going to go ahead and read the text. So, Psalm 37, we're going to begin in verse 1. So, if you found your place and you're able and willing, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And I'm going to read the first 8 verses this morning. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Let's pray. Jesus, you're good, and we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. And God in heaven, I pray that you would teach us from your word. God, speak to us now. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. God, empty me of myself, I pray. Lord, use us together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, I want to preach to you this message called Fret Not. And so if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea of the text is this, is stay faithful to following God's plan. Stay faithful to following God's plan. Our text this morning, if you read the full chapter, the full psalm here, Psalm 37, it's an interesting psalm. It's an acrostic. It follows the Hebrew alphabet as it goes through. But here, the text that we're looking at this morning, the whole psalm, is really focused on how it seems like people who are wicked, people who are evil, people who don't care about the things of God, they seem to prosper. And it may be at times and seasons in your life where you go, man, they're getting ahead. They're winning. They're achieving all their goals. And the idea is that the person who's righteous, the person who cares about the things of God, continues to stay, or man, that things aren't moving the way that they should. And so the psalmist is writing about fret not when you see them prosper and you're still in the same place. And there's this admonition of waiting on God. And so that's what the psalmist is writing about this morning as we look at. And so the main idea that I want you to think about this morning from our 8 verses is that stay faithful to following God's plan. God always blesses faithfulness. Always. And so the question then this morning is, do you ever get distracted by others? Do you ever get distracted by others? I know it's Sunday morning, we're really spiritual here, and so I'll confess to you, and you can hold yours, all right? But I've been there, and I've been in seasons of my life and times where I look around, and it seems like every person that, man, doesn't care about the things of God. It seems like, man, their business is growing, they're advancing, they've got all the stuff and all the things of life, and man, they just, you take the measuring stick of this life and they are checking every box, and man, they're just really doing well. And then there's times like, oh man, why do we struggle? Why do we have hard times? And we're trying to be obedient and to the will of God, but man, they don't care about the things of God. They haven't darkened the door of a church in years, maybe ever, but it seems like they just fall into all the good stuff. I know you don't ever have those thoughts. I'm just confessing to you this morning, all right? And so that's what the psalmist is writing about. And just the question, do you ever fall into that trap? Do you ever get distracted by others, particularly those that don't seem to care about the things of God and how well they're doing? Sometimes it's in our own family. Sometimes it's our neighbors or coworkers or friends. And so I believe the Word of God has something to say to us this morning, as there's four truths from these eight verses I want us to look at and think about. And these eight verses, to be honest with you, I'm going to skim the top, because there's a lot of imperatives. There are a lot of commands. I'm going to try to point them out to you as we go along the way, but there's a lot of commands from the Word of God this morning that we need to pay attention to. So number one, this truth I want you to grab a hold of is stay focused on the eternal reward. Stay focused on what is eternal, not what is temporary. So let's look at the first two verses together here. So this is a Psalm of David. He says in verse 1, do not fret. And then there it is. And quite honest with you, this isn't specifically a command. This isn't in the imperative form. But it is emphatic, because it's at the beginning, it's here at the front, and it sets the tone for the entire psalm. He says, do not fret. Why would you fret? Because of evildoers. Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Well, if you just pause there, go, well, preacher, that's not hard. I don't envy somebody who's wicked. I don't envy somebody who's unrighteous and man, just a hater of God, all those sort of things. Well, but the context is, don't worry, don't fret, don't get all worked up and be envious over them because of what you're seeing in their life. Not necessarily how they're acting or how they're living their life, but how it seems like they're experiencing all the blessings. So look at this. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And here's what we need to understand, man. The Lord loves these people. The Lord loves the ungodly and those who don't know Him, because He came to die. Jesus came to die for them. So God loves them, but there will be a day of reckoning for anybody who does not repent and place their faith and trust in Christ, that stays in that category of wicked and unrighteous and a hater of God. And here's what we've got to understand. There's this comparison of wicked and evil versus those who are righteous. So let me remind you of this. Apart from the grace and mercy of God, we all fall in one bucket. And that bucket is wicked. That bucket is unrighteous. That bucket is evil. We all fall in that category apart from the grace and mercy of God. The only way we fall in the bucket of righteousness is because of 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The only way you are righteous is because when you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, I talked about this last week, He took all of your wickedness, all of your unrighteousness, and laid it over on His Son Jesus, and He took all the righteousness of His Son Jesus and laid it over on you. Thank you, Lord. So if anybody here this morning, as we're thinking about this, as we're thinking about where we're in the righteous category, we need to be careful, because the only way that we're there is not by our own good effort. It's only because of the grace and mercy of God. Amen? And so as we look around, we struggle. We know we've surrendered our heart and life to Jesus. We know that we're trying to live in a way that pleases and honors Him. And we're trying to follow the will and plan and path of God. And we look around and we see all these people who, man, they're at the lake right now. Man, they're there every Sunday, and they're all doing all the things, and it seems like, man, just blessing upon blessing. All is well for them. They don't have any struggles. It's difficult sometimes to look around and go, man, why am I trying to live in a way that pleases the Lord when it all just feels like every time we take a step forward, we take 10 back? Here's the warning again. Listen, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, what you're seeing, you may see. He's not saying it's not happening. David's not telling us that, man, you won't see those individuals prosper. You won't see those individuals do well. No, he's saying you're going to see that, and you have seen that. But don't get overwhelmed by it, because the blessing that you're seeing and the goodness and the things they're enjoying right now, what is happening? They're enjoying what is temporary. And if they don't repent and trust the Lord, then man, they're going to miss heaven, spend eternity in hell. And listen, all of the stuff here, it doesn't matter how much goodness you can pour out on earth now. Man, Scripture says life is but a vapor. You can't take that stuff with you. Can't take the promotion with you. You can't take all the toys with you. Can't take all the financial security with you. And so he's saying, as you look around, don't fret, don't worry, because as you look, and what right now feels like all the blessings of God is a very short-sighted view. And what he's saying is, I need you to put the glasses on, pull the binoculars up, and look past the temporary and look into eternity. And know that, you know what, they may be enjoying a lot of life's goodness, and they're not thinking about the goodness of God and all that sort of thing, and they're not trying to be obedient to the will of God, but here you are trying to be steady, hand at the plow, and you're not experiencing all the goodness now, what the world says. You don't have all the financial security. Maybe you don't have all the promotion because of your faith. Maybe you don't have all the circles and all the influence, all that sort of stuff. But I believe what God's saying to us this morning is keep your hand at the plow. Don't get distracted over what is right here in the short side of you, but you fix your eyes on eternity and you stay faithful. Listen to me, mom and dad. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. There's some Sundays you're dragging kids here and you're having all the fight and the battle and all that sort of thing, and sometimes you wonder if it's worth it. Let me emphatically say to you, it is worth it. Man, I know all the travel teams, and I know all the success of students, and I know all the graphics and social media, and it's sexy and it looks good and all that sort of thing. But listen, let me tell you, stay faithful to the Lord. I'm not saying you can't be a part of those things, but I'm telling you, don't let your eyes get focused here and stop here. Pick them up, stay faithful, and look to eternity. And David is saying to us this morning is that we need to stay focused on the eternal reward. Proverbs 23:17 says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. And don't get distracted. Don't get jealous and envious of them. Job 20, verse 5 through 9 says that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Though his haughtiness mounts up to the heavens and his head reaches to the clouds, yet he will perish forever like his own refuse. Those who have seen him will say, where is he? He will fly away like a dream and not be found. Yes, he will be chased away like a vision of the night. The eye that saw him will see him no more, nor will his place behold him anymore. What's the Word of God saying to us this morning is, listen to me, students. I know, and I know you got friends, man, they're partying, they're doing all the things that, the world says to do and have fun. It seems like they got the world, just by the tail, and life is good and all that sort of thing. Let me tell you this. Stay faithful unto the Lord. Live in a way that pleases and honors Him. Stay focused on what is eternal. And the Lord will honor that, and the Lord will bless that. So we can't get distracted this morning by what's short-sighted, what's just right here. And so the Word has more to say to us. Number two, stay focused on God's faithfulness. Stay focused on God's faithfulness. Here it is, verse 3. Here's one of those emphatic imperatives. Trust in the Lord and do good. And we can stop there. We could spend a while just right there. Trust in the Lord and do good. Man, listen, this morning, I don't know what's going on in your heart and in your life. And it may be that you just stumbled in this morning, man, been struggling, having a hard time. Can we just remember for a moment this morning that the Lord is trustworthy? Can we remember this morning that God has been good to us? You know, we used to say a lot of times in Baptist churches, those of you around, you'll pick up, God is good, and all the time. It's a reminder that we need this morning that God is worthy. God can be trusted. If God spoke all of this into existence, I'm fairly confident. I don't know exactly what's going on in your life, but I'm fairly confident you can trust Him with what's happening in your life. You can trust Him with your health struggles and your health concerns and your health scares. You can trust Him with your job, your employment, things that are going on. You can trust Him with your bank account and your investments. You can trust Him with your vehicle issues. You can trust Him with your kids and your grandkids. You can trust Him, listen to me this morning, with your marriage. Just take a moment and step back out of the immediate circumstances and right now in a moment, flash back across your life and think about how many times God has been good to you, even when you didn't know He was being good. God's been good to us, right? He's been faithful. Man, He's been steady. There's been people come and go in your life. Man, there's been friends and family that have turned their back on you. There's been all kinds of hardship. There's been church members that have said ugly things to you. But listen to me, dear friend. The Lord's never left you nor forsaken you. The Lord's never given up on you. The Lord's never quit. He's never stopped pursuing you. Man, God can be worthy. He is deserving of our trust. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. What promotes us? What pushes us? What prods us to stay faithful to the Lord? It's not the short-sightedness of how we're seeing our neighbors who don't care about God continue to get everything, but it's stepping back just for a moment out of our circumstances, reflecting across our life and thinking about how good God's been to us. And that alone is enough to say, man, I got to stay faithful. I got to keep pursuing the Lord. He has been good. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Look at this. Dwell in the land. And man, look, man, circle this and feed on His faithfulness. Feed. Dwell in the land. Feed on His faithfulness. Hit pause for a moment. Think about it. Dwell in the land. Boy, doesn't that provide a sense of security? A sense of stability? Man, I don't know about you, but man, when I was a kid, I think we moved every 2 weeks, it felt like. All the time moving. Moved a bunch of times when I was younger. Since we've been married, we moved a bunch of times. I don't know what's happening and going on in your life. I don't know, man, if you're in a transition of a time of different stage or season of life. Or maybe job or whatever it is. Just hit pause for a moment and just think and think about this idea of just hitting pause and dwell in the land. What's he saying? He's saying, man, I am stable. And what God has for you is stable and it's sure. It's not moving. It's not going anywhere. Nobody can rob it from you. Nobody can take it from you. God's hand is providing it. He's saying, dwell in the land and listen, feed on His faithfulness. I hope what is happening this morning, just as you're hearing me preach, as you reflect back how God, man, just out of the blue, provided enough finances to pay the bill. That God, in His faithfulness, time and again, every time you open the refrigerator or the pantry door, there's food that's there. When you get up morning after morning, for the most part, electricity is on and water is running. Time and again, you get in and you start your vehicle. Man, time and again, God has intervened. God has worked. Think about the number of reports in your life and in your family's life when the doctor's report said there's a major issue, but God, time and again, has showed up and answered prayer and moved. Listen, I hope this morning you're taking a moment and thinking about your own life and just feeding on the faithfulness of God. He says, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Here, verse 4. delight yourself also in the Lord. Man, I think believers ought to have a joy that's a little bit weird or uncomfortable about them. Listen, I'm not happy or excited about some of the state of our country and some of the state of the world in which we live. I'm not excited about some of the things that happen in and around our community. But let me tell you, dear friend, man, whenever Jesus saved my soul, He rescued me from hell and has promised heaven. And not only that, the Spirit of God lives in me and He's given me joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Listen to me, dear friend. Take a moment and remember what it was like when you gave your heart life to Jesus, and won't you this morning join me saying, amen, delight yourself in the Lord. And there's joy in knowing Him. There's joy in living and following Him. Yes, take your eyes off the temporary. I realize you don't have all the success that maybe you hope. You don't have all the things that your neighbor does, but listen to me, dear friend, you have something far greater, and that is the Lord walking with you day in and day out. That is giving you joy and peace and comfort and strength. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Also, what does it mean? Man, delight yourself in His Word. Enjoy having a saving relationship with Jesus. Enjoy being together as a church family. Enjoy coming to worship and singing. Man, there are 10,000 reasons plus some of why God is good and why He's worthy. Man, enjoy singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Man, enjoy sitting under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Enjoy the fellowship that we have with one another. Enjoy reading your Bible. Enjoy spending time in prayer. Listen, if you'll find joy in those things, delight yourself in the Lord. The phrase we get hung up on is coming next, but I need to hit pause before we get to that because I need you to understand what He's fixing to say matters because of what He just said. Delight yourself also in the Lord, listen to this, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Boy, that's on every Christian t-shirt and radio you've ever seen, right? And we get quickly to the second phrase, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Man, hallelujah, I'm getting ready, because I'm finna to have me a brand new side-by-side Honda 1000-5. It's going to have a rack on the top, mud tires for days. Man, I'm going to be able to drive over a pine tree if I want to. Not a little one. I'm going to just drive over all, right? Because we get here and we go, man, yeah. Man, God's going to give me the desires of my heart. My desires for this. My desires for that. And hallelujah, I'm going to get it. But listen, what was the first point? Man, get your eyes off the temporary, focused on eternal, right? Because the psalmist is saying what's happening is people around him, they're looking around, seeing people who hate the things of God, not care about the things of God, seems like they're enjoying the blessing, saying, man, that's just temporary. Get your eyes on eternal. And he tells us, man, trust in the Lord. Dwell in the land. Feed on His faithfulness. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. Then He shall give you the desires of your heart. Write it this way. Write this down in the margin of your Bible or on your notes, okay? You ready? When God is all you want, you'll always have all you want. When God is all you want, you'll always have all you want. Delight yourself also in the Lord. You know what that means? Is it means whenever you get excited about the things of God and you care about the things of God, what is happening is there's this change that is taking place where God is taking some things out and He's putting some things in. What it means is whenever you're studying and reading the Word of God, when we're gathering together for worship, and God is using the preaching of His Word, and we're singing together, man, we're having fellowship, we're breaking bread together, all those things. What is happening is God is working on taking some desires and some things out of my life that are not part of His will or His plan. Those are Chris's plans. And then what is also happening, He's not just taking things out, because God doesn't just take things out, He replaces things. Man, God didn't just set me free from some things whenever He saved me, but rather He put some things in me. And so He's taken desires out, but He also puts things in. See, whenever I delight myself also in the Lord, man, I fall in love with His Word and go, man, you know what? Man, Chris's way is not right way. God's way is. Man, when I sing together, man, this is about the Lord, not about me. When I sit under the preaching of the Word of God, there's conviction and correction, instruction and training. And God does something in my heart. When I spend time around the table, studying the Bible, man, all these things, what's happening? Delight yourself also in the Lord. God is taking your wants out, putting His wants in. So then, whenever you seek the Lord and you follow Him, yes, He gives you the desires of your hearts because your heart's desires have become His desires. That's what God wants to do. And so, stay focused on what is eternal. Stay focused on God's faithfulness. Psalm 62:8 says it this way, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, listen to this, you will ask what you desire and it shall be given to you. Why? Because we miss the first phrase. If word abides in us and we abide in Him, man, what happens is that then your desires become His desires. So then when you ask, God always answers because what you're asking for is the will of God. And so stay focused on what is eternal. Number two, stay focused on God's faithfulness. Number three, stay focused on your faithfulness. Look at verse 5 and 6. Here's another imperative. Commit your way to the Lord. Listen. Let me tell you, believer, you need a holy unction deep down in your soul that says, I'm going to be committed to the Lord. You need a conviction deep down at the core of who you are. Because I'm telling you right now, you are going to see people do well. You are going to see friends excel and all those sorts of things. You're going to see things go really well for people who don't care about the things of God. And what the enemy's going to do, he's going to come sit on your shoulders going, man, you're wasting your time going to church. You're wasting your time tithing. You're wasting your time being a part of a community of faith of believers. You're wasting your time. And look at them. Look at your neighbor. Man, got everything. Everything's great. All that sort of thing. And the enemy's going to come lie to you. And the temptation is going to be, man, why don't you just back away from that? You don't really need to go every Sunday. You don't really need to be faithful in tithing every week or every time you get paid. You don't really need to be obedient in those things. And so what is happening is the enemy's again trying to adjust your focus, adjust where you're looking. And I need to remind you this morning, David says here, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Anew and afresh this morning saying, God, by your grace and by your mercy, even when it doesn't make earthly sense, I'm going to do things the way that you've called me to do them. And be obedient to that. So commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. Why does he follow up with that? Because if you don't trust Him, you won't commit your way to Him. If you don't trust Him, you won't commit to doing things the way God designs. I think the quickest way that we see that is we see that in our finances. Now, hold on, preacher. You're meddling now, right? Quickly, we look across our finances. And what they reflect determines whether we really trust Him or not. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. What does that mean? The will and purposes of God. Verse 6, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. I don't know if that's amen or oh me. Because I don't know about you, it may not take much of a light. But he says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. He says, your righteousness is going to come out, your justice is going to come out. What's he saying? He's saying, look, as you look around, you don't have to go around telling the world, man, how in the world is this guy, my neighbor, prospering? He doesn't care about the things of God. You don't have to run the banner up and run him or her down and create this big parade. Man, let God do what God does. At the same time, we don't have to run our own parade up, our own banner, going, look at poor me. I'm being obedient to the will of God, but man, there's just nothing to show for it. But you know what God's saying? He's saying there's going to be a come a day whenever, man, everything's gone. And the evil person, the wicked person, the thing who doesn't care about the things of God, if they don't turn to the Lord, there's going to be a day of reckoning whenever they have to give an answer. But listen to me, dear friend. Lean in real close. Listen to me. Also, there's going to be a day in which he raises you up. And he displays you as a trophy of his grace. And says, that's mine. She belongs to me. He belongs to me. And so stay focused on your faithfulness. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Stay focused on him and stay focused on your faithfulness. All right, number 4, verses 7 and 8. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We live in a culture and a society where rest isn't overly valued. We live in a day and time, a culture, a society where I don't know that it's no longer just the city that never sleeps, it's just the whole country that never sleeps. Man, there's something all the time, always going on. We have access, I mean, on devices that we have access to the whole world all the time. We're a culture that doesn't celebrate rest very well. A moment to pause and reflect, a moment to slow down, a moment to really consider what's happening and going on in and around our lives. But if I could encourage you this morning, just for a moment, right where you sit, here's what I want you to do. Just for a moment, I know it's going to be a fun exercise, I want you to take one big deep breath and just for a moment think about rest, all right? Here we go, 1, 2, 3. Lean in real close. I don't know what you're facing and I don't know what's going on. But God is God enough to meet you right where you're at and meet the need of your life. Can I say to you this morning, rest in the Lord. Rest in Him. What does that mean? It means, yes, we need to stay faithful to do what God's called me to do. It means, you know, you're under financial burden, but you have a job. It doesn't mean just call in sick and you're just waiting on God to suddenly drop a bag of cash off at your door. Get up faithful, be faithful, go to work. But when you come home, you've worked hard, rest in Him. Of knowing it's Him who takes care of you. It's Him who's provided the whole way. It's Him who gave you the job. It's Him who's given you the physical ability to get up and work. It's Him who's taken care of you throughout your whole life. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That patience. Goodness gracious, isn't that tough? That's hard. Whenever Deja and I were getting ready to be married, and I was working for Paris Walmart at the time. I've been there a few years. It was one of the regular Walmarts. Anybody remember regular Walmart before everything was a supercenter? All that. And so, I was working there, and we were getting ready to get married, and I don't know what I was making at the time. I know when I started, I was making $5.42. Now, some of you are going to get done with this. We're going to get done. You're going to come tell me how you made up 80 cents an hour or whatever, the minimum wage or whatever. You're going to undo my $5.40 or whatever. But nonetheless, that's what I was making whenever I started. So I wasn't making very much, and I thought, we're going to get married, I might need to make a few more bucks than that and figure that out. So I was going to transfer to Fort Smith Distribution Center. There's a Walmart, it's a shoe distribution that's located there. And here I was, I don't know, maybe, I guess, whenever I started putting in for it, I was 18. I'd been there 2 years, great work, you know, steady work and all that sort of thing. I thought, man, there's no doubt. People are going to fall all over themselves to get me to come work for them, you know. I mean, all this experience I had, all this stuff, right? And man, just put it in. I knew somebody that was there and da-da-da, all this stuff. And it just didn't happen. No transfer. And I'm like, Lord, I need some help. And one day reading my Bible, God spoke to my heart. And I'd been struggling with content. I wasn't content. I had all my plans, all these things lined out, and I just needed God to sign my plans, right? I just wasn't content. And he said, until you get content, you're going to be right there. He didn't speak audibly, but I know what God did in my heart. And so finally, by his grace, I got to a point and said, okay, God, I'm going to be faithful right here until you do something else. And I've been trying for months and months and months. And Lord worked in my heart, gave me grace to rest in Him and wait patiently on Him. And lo and behold, what happened? It wasn't very long. They called me in and said, hey, you got to transfer, you're heading on. And man, God worked, God moved. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many stories in here where we've tried and we've tried our way and we've tried and tried to beat down the door and force it and all that kind of thing. And the Lord's just waiting for us to get to a point where we go, hey, rest in me and wait patiently and God will work, God will answer. Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. So what's he saying? He's saying, don't get distracted by all this other thing going on. Stay focused on me. And then end of verse 8, this is really tough. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Boy, isn't that a good word to end on? Let me help us. Saying, stop worrying about it, you ain't helping. It's not doing any good. Matter of fact, it's not only not doing any good, listen to what it says. It only causes harm. Now, who's the one that it's harming? Is it harming God? Harming ourselves, right? Because your blood pressure's going up, your anxiety's going up, and your frustration is going up. The quickness in which you get frustrated is getting just more rapid. I mean, it just doesn't take much to set you off. And it causes you to go from being farsighted to short-sighted because you start looking all around you. You also begin forgetting about the faithfulness of God. And if you're not careful, you will stop being faithful unto the Lord. Do not fret. It only causes harm. You're right. I hear you. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how long I've been going through it. You're absolutely right. I tell you, dear friend, the Word of God is always right and it's always true. And the word He has for you this morning is do not fret. Only thing that's happening is you're causing harm to yourself. Now, here's the thing. If you let it consume you enough, it's not only causing you harm, it's causing others harm. Some of your friends and family, you've hurt some relationships because you're so worked up over something, you're not just resting and trusting Him. Your family's afraid to say much around you because you're worked up. Let me encourage you. Do not fret. It's only causing harm. I told you this wasn't necessarily an amen, but an oh me. Oh me, Lord. I'm guilty. Lamentations 3:26 says, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Psalm 73:3, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He's saying, man, when I got my eyes off of the Lord and off of eternity and fixed them here, I became envious. And so, dear friend, there's a lot of imperatives. Trust the Lord, dwell in His land, feed on His faithfulness, delight yourself also in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Do not fret, cease from anger. Do not fret. And just time and again, He's telling you, do this, do this, do this. And so, do you ever get distracted by others? Let me encourage you. Stay faithful to the Lord. Remember the faithfulness of God He has extended to you and to your family. Stay focused on the plan of God with your eyes fixed on eternity. God can do more in a moment than you can in a lifetime of worrying and fretting about what to do. Trust Him. Wait patiently on Him. Dwell in the land. Feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Let's pray. Jesus, You're good, and we love and adore You. We thank You for Your goodness and grace. And God, I just come to You this morning and ask You to speak and minister to us. God, a lot of difficult things this morning. But God, I just pray You'd help us to obediently respond. God, if it's conviction, help us to confess and repent, turn from it. God, if it's calling us out, help us to say, yes, Lord, be obedient. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to respond to You in these next few moments. As You remain in attitude of prayer, we're going to have a time of invitation. This time is for you to respond to the Lord, a time to focus, time to pray, a time to say, yes, Lord. And so in just a moment, I'm going to pray again, and this altar is open. We're going to sing. You can come and pray at the front. Maybe God's dealing with your heart about something, making a decision. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in baptism. You come. Maybe you may need to make a decision. Go, man, Pastor, I just don't know where I'm at with my salvation. You come. Say, I just need somebody to pray with me. I'd love to do that. Maybe God's dealing with your heart about something else. You need somebody to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you, pray with you. Whenever I pray, you come, and however the Lord is leading you. Jesus, You're good. And there's none like You. God, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You for the truth of Your word. And I pray in these next few moments we'd be just faithful. Faithful to You of how You spoke to us. God, bind away the evil one. Give us liberty. Thank You for Your grace, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may remain in an attitude of prayer. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. Whatever the Lord's doing in your heart, you come now. Amen. Well, thank you so much again for being here. I'm going to ask our men if you begin to take your place so that we can receive the offering as we leave today. I just want to encourage you to be faithful in your giving and just so much ministry that takes place. A lot of it that may not even be fully aware of how you're being able to help just ministry and things take place through the life of our church. And so grateful for your faithfulness to give. If you're a guest, again, thank you so much for being here. Hopefully you'll fill out one of those guest cards either in person or online, and just grateful that you've chosen to worship with us. Let's stand together and we're going to pray and be dismissed. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great week. And let me pray. Jesus, you're good and there's none like you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your grace and mercy. I pray that, God, all that we say and do will bring honor and glory to your name. Help us to give in a way that pleases and honors you. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Help us not to fret, but trust you and lean on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.